Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray that this podcast will help you on that journey.
One of the things that we do here, and I know is part of the calling for my life, for you, is to remind you of who you are. Of who we are, because so often we can forget, or in moments, maybe forget for a moment, or not be connected with at all times of who I am in God. And sometimes there can then enter this separation of feeling like God is there and I'm here, and I'm not sure how he feels about me, but I'm just going to live life and hopefully good things happen and all that, and that is all garbage. Because the reality is, of who we are, is that we are his sons and we're his daughters. And we are loved by him at all times, 24/7, 365. Always loved by him. More than we realize, more than we recognize. And not only are we loved by him, we're the carrier of God. As I just mentioned about these kids, we are those who carry the king. His spirit is on the inside of us. So we're sons and daughters. It's the highest appellation that we could be called, is a son of the king, a daughter of the king. We've been adopted, and then he lives on the inside of us. And then I want to mention something today where Jesus called us some other things that are pretty wonderful. This is how God sees us, how Jesus sees you and I. It's important to see ourselves the way that Jesus sees us. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth." How about that one? "But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You are salt and you are light." Verse 15, "Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Jesus doesn't say you will be salt or you will be light one day. He said you are. You are salt. You are light. And we are to let this light shine. I've heard that. There's lots of songs about that. We've heard that many, many times. But we are to allow our light to shine because we are the light of the world. Jesus said in John chapter 9, "I'm the light of the world while I'm in the world." But then here in Matthew 5, he says, "You are now the light of the world." He passed the torch onto us to be the light of the world on his behalf. It's what he called us to do. One of the reasons we've been born, and one of the reasons we've been born again, is to be his light, to shine forth in a dark world. We're here to be light, and light changes everything. It helps reveal what's hidden. It illuminates the truth, illuminates what's real, gives hope, brings clarity. You know, some things that we do in life, we're to do when no one is watching. Some of the giving. Like if you wanted to give $50,000 to pay down our loan or something like that. You do that secretly. Or you give something great to someone. You do it anonymously. But then there, like what Jesus just said here, be light, shine. It's not just a giving, but it's a sharing and a joy. You know, there are people who light up a room when they walk into it. My wife is one of those. She just lights up a room when she's in it. And that's what we're called to be, the light bringers. And then we're to be salt. Salt is an incredible influencer. It's a powerful agent. The right amount preserves. The right amount enhances the flavor of dishes. Salt is a wonderful thing when you have just the right amount. And we, Jesus says, this is part of what we are. We're salt. We are light. And I believe this is a year of salvation for many around the world. Here in the U.S., something's going on right now throughout the world, right? The kingdom of God is on the move. People are awakening to who Jesus is and who they are in him and who they get to be in him, we get to have a part of being light in the world. We get to be a part of sharing him, giving him away. Freely we've received, freely we get to give him away. Prophecy from Daniel 2,600 years ago said that in the last days, this is what Daniel said, that those who have insight will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. And those who lead the many to righteousness, they'll be like the stars forever and ever. I think in part Jesus may have been even thinking about that passage right there, that prophecy when he calls us the light of the world. Daniel says, in the last days, there will be stars. There will be those who, against the backdrop of darkness, and against the darkness in the world, they are going to be shining brightly. I love the stars at night. Staring up there, looking at them, thinking how far they are away, that the light I'm seeing right then started coming my way way before I was ever born, or maybe before a nation was here. It's incredible. But Daniel likens us to those stars, standing out, shining brightly for others to see. It says here, those who lead the many to righteousness, they are like stars forever and ever. And to me, that means leading many to Jesus, because he is our righteousness. He is the one who is righteous. So when we lead people to Jesus, we're leading them to righteousness. In the world that you and I live in, the stars in our natural world are those who perform on a stage or on a screen, right? That's what we call them. They're the stars. The kingdom's upside down from that. In the kingdom, the stars are those who lead many to Jesus, the ones who shine brightly. A part of our calling, a part of the calling of every person, not just those who have an evangelistic gifting or the calling of an evangelist, but for every single one of us, we're called to shine. We're called to share. We are called, and part of our purpose is to be light. And when we're not, we will maybe even have a sense that I'm not fulfilling my purpose. What is it that I'm not doing yet? What is it that I'm not walking in? What is it I'm not being a part of? And sometimes it's that I'm not shining. I'm waiting for something to happen to me or for me instead of something coming out of me. Part of walking in our purpose is to shine. And the Lord has positioned each of us, wherever we are in life, whatever we're doing in life, whatever our occupation is or our neighborhood that we live in, he has perfectly positioned us to shine in that space, a place where other people can't or won't, or they're not there. He has got us perfectly positioned to be around people who may not hear about him from anyone else. Or they need to see a demonstration of his love through us. I want to, if we could put that first slide up. I shared about this a few years ago, but we're actually headed to Israel here in a few weeks, several of us here. And there may be room, if you are still interested, in coming along. I think we have 33 going. But this is Israel. I've not been there yet. I'm super excited to go for my first time. But when I learned about this several years ago, just really resonated on the inside as the Lord was revealing to me and showing me things related to this passage. In this small nation, tiny nation the size of New Jersey, you'll see the Sea of Galilee up there at the top on the northern part. And then from the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, of course, the famous Jordan River that flows down into the Dead Sea, which is the large lake there. You can go to the second slide. The Sea of Galilee has three rivers that feed into it. So you have springs that are flowing into it. You've got rivers that are flowing into it. It's vibrant. It's full of life. We have several stories in the Bible about them catching fish. Part of the disciples, they were fishermen on this very place, on this sea, catching fish like those big fish over there. That's from the Sea of Galilee. There's a lot of life there. And Jesus said also in John 7:38, whoever believes in me, the scripture says, rivers of living water will flow within him. The Galilee really is, to me, a natural picture of followers of Jesus. Fresh water flowing in and water flowing out, which forms the Jordan River. And then we can put up the next image as well. This is, you guessed it, the Dead Sea. So 150 miles from the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River flows, and it keeps going down, down, down until it gets to here, the Dead Sea. It's actually not just the Dead Sea. It's the lowest point on earth, like 1,300 feet below sea level. And the Jordan River flows into this as it comes from the Galilee, where there's lots of life and fish and wonderful things. And the water flows into this sea, but it has no outlet. Nothing, everything comes in and nothing goes out. And in that place, salt accumulates. The Dead Sea is 10 times saltier than the ocean. The ocean's about 3% salt. The Dead Sea's over 30% salt. So it's just an accumulation of salt. And are there any fish in the Dead Sea? No. None. There's no fish that can. In fact, there's only one thing that lives in the Dead Sea. It's called bacteria. That's it. Bacteria is the only thing that lives there. So you've got salt, you've got water, you've seen people, I'm sure, floating on it. We're probably going to get a chance to do that here in a few weeks. Pretty amazing, but nothing flows out of it. Only it just has something coming in. Nothing goes out. You know, for all of us, for a healthy life, we need input, but we also need output for a healthy flow. Sometimes we as Christians can get too salty. Salty in a few different ways. But just an accumulation of input, hearing amazing things, having the Lord flowing into us, reading the word, all that is amazing and wonderful. We need it. We're desperate. We have to have it. But we're also supposed to have output. We're also supposed to have that flow through us, rivers of living water flowing out of us, Jesus said, not just into us. Or we can accumulate a bunch of salt. And what I've been around people, I would say we're super full of salt. They have an answer to everything. They know everything. They've had all the experience. You start to talk like, yeah, I understand that. I know that. I've done that. I've been there. Already, all that. That's a super salty person. They just accumulated all the stuff, but they haven't, or maybe aren't, doing anything. They're not sharing the light. They just are accumulating information. And that's not who we're called to be. Honestly, the people who get isolated, kind of like the Dead Sea, separate from church, separate from relationships, separate from community, people get weird. I'm just telling you. If you isolate yourself, God did not call us to be monks. It's not in the scriptures, just FYI. We are called to be around other people, to receive from him, but also to give away. In fact, you could even say that community is not as important as going and sharing. I mean, that's what Jesus said, right? He said, as he was leaving, go into all the world. Go into all the world. Preach to everything that moves. You find someone who's breathing, share the light with them. And even when the community formed in Acts, that wasn't necessarily something Jesus said to do. It happened. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. But it was like God said, okay, I need you guys to go. I need you to go. Take this beautiful experience you're having and go share this with others. You know, Christianity, I'm thankful, is not a club. It's not a club. Oh, good, I'm so glad I'm saved. I don't care what's about anybody else, but I'm saved. That is not what this is about. Jesus wants us to have that same heart and love. Like he said, as much as we love ourselves, we're to love one another. One another, people who don't know him, people who have not had an experience with him, people who have not experienced his love and his kindness and his generosity and his salvation, their forgiveness. And we're to be the light of the world. We're supposed to have this output where we are not the Dead Sea, we're Galilee. May we be Galilee, rivers of living water flowing into us and a river flowing out of us to help other people. And in so many ways, if there's too much salt, even our natural body, your physician might tell you, you know, not so much sodium, easy. Yet way too much salt in your diet, it's usually not a good thing either. It affects a lot of other things. So you want to have the right amount. One of the things that, well, I remember this guy when I was leading a ministry school. He came to my office one time, made an appointment. He was really frustrated, and he was a little bit, maybe not quite depressed, but he was down and frustrated with a lot of things that weren't going right in his life. And he started sharing several things. As he started sharing it, inside of me, just the Lord, just Holy Spirit just started speaking to me for him, and it was, send him. And I said, his name was Jonathan. I said, Jonathan, let me just stop you here for a second. I feel like the Lord is asking me to share something with you that you're supposed to do. Now, he came for counseling. He wanted me to pray for him and maybe feel some pity for him or things like that. I don't know. I didn't do any of those things. I said, here's what I feel like the Lord is saying. I want you to leave my office right now, and I want you to go down to the mall, and I want you to share Jesus with three people. He looked at me like, that is not why I came here. You're no help whatsoever. And he left, and he left kind of in a huff. And I said, well, that's what I felt like I was supposed to do. He went away, and he told me later, he said, when I went away, I was not going to do what you asked me to do. That is not why I came there today. That's not what I wanted to hear. He said, but as I'm driving home, I feel like the Lord said to me, why don't I do what he asked me to do? Maybe this is the Lord. So we went by the mall. This was in Charlotte, Carolina Place Mall. And he started to talk to people. And he shared the gospel with three people. Not only did he share the gospel with three people, he led three people to the Lord while he was at the mall that day. And he came back to me, or called me, and he was on cloud nine. He was not focused on his problems anymore. He was not just seeing what is going wrong in his life. All of a sudden, he's got the joy of the Lord. He's got strength. He's thinking about other people, and other people's lives are changed. His whole perspective changes when he went from Dead Sea to Galilee. When he went from, let me, instead of just dwelling on everything that's wrong. I'll tell you what, we could spend all day, every day, thinking about what's wrong in our lives. And never go anywhere, or do anything, or let rivers of living water flow out of us. But in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of things that are not easy in life, what if we also said, you know what? That is not supposed to hinder me shining. Whatever fiery ordeal I'm in isn't supposed to hinder who I'm supposed to be for others, and that I'm an ambassador. And one of the things you've been called, another thing that we have been called, all of us, is an ambassador for God. I mean, I've worked for a few ambassadors overseas, and I mean, they have authority. They're speaking on behalf of the president in another nation. That nation sees them almost like the president of America if you're sent as an ambassador. We are ambassadors of the King of Kings, the King of the universe. We're sons, we're daughters, we're ambassadors, we're light, we're salt. And our ambassadorship isn't supposed to get put to bed if we're going through something we don't like, or if I don't feel great necessarily. I get to still be an ambassador for him every day. I'm representing the King. I'm representing him, and I want to shine. One thing I really enjoy doing is fishing. Jesus said, one of the first few things he said to some of his guys was, I will make you fishers of men. Guys who were fishermen, he said, I'm going to change your fishing a little bit, and instead of catching floppy things with gills, you're going to be fishing for people. You're going to be catching people. When I fish, one of the things I love about it is you never know what you're going to get, especially in the ocean. But creeks would be my favorite. And you still don't know how big this is. Is this going to be a rainbow? Is this going to be a brook? Is it going to be a Dolly Varden? You don't know what kind it is. Is it going to be a bass? You have no idea what's going to happen or what you're going to catch. And it's exciting. It's a wonderful thing. In the ocean, multiply that times 1,000. You have no idea. And sometimes I'm just catching the bottom or a stick or a rock too. But there is an excitement about it, and there is an excitement that God has put inside of us when we are fishing for people. There's something of a joy. You don't know what who the Lord has in mind for us to be a part of reeling closer to him. By our light, by our words, by our life. I remember having a dream several years ago. I'm a dreamer. The Lord gives me dreams and oftentimes speaks to me. He did this last week. Sometimes it's to correct me. Sometimes it's to encourage or to go for something. In this particular dream, I was next to this body of water that was really murky, just really dark brown, very dirty water, and I had a fishing pole. No one else was around, and I had one lure or bait, this artificial bait, and it was a big, red, shiny, ugly, way too big lure. And I'm thinking, I'm looking at the water, and I'm thinking, there's no fish that has eyes that could see this thing. And it's ugly. There's no respectable fish in the world that's going to bite this lure. That's what I was thinking in the dream. And then I thought, you know what, but I'm here. Let me just get in the water. You know, you've heard, like, you're not going to knock any balls out of the park that you don't swing at. You're not going to catch any fish that you don't get your bait in the water for either. So in the dream, I threw this, half-heartedly threw this lure in the water, murky, dirty water, and wham, I get this huge hit. And I reel this fish in. This fish was probably this big. And I was shocked that I caught something. Thought maybe I snagged it. Sometimes you can snag a fish where they don't even mean to get caught. But this one actually was in his mouth. I get him to the shore. I take the bait out. And as I turn it over, like I was going to kill it, like sometimes you with a big fish, it stops flopping. I grabbed a stick. I was going to kill it. But as I turn it over, it was the face of a baby child. And I dropped the stick. And I picked it up. And it was wiggling, but I picked it up and I wrapped it in some cloth and I took it home and I showed Debbie. And she goes and she gets some clothes, some baby clothes that we had out of a dresser and put these baby clothes. She started putting baby clothes on it. The fins turned to arms and these arms grew right through the clothing. And we now had a person that I brought home when I was fishing. And that was the end of the dream. Crazy dream. But when I was asking the Lord about it, I was like, what is that about? You know, one of the things the Lord was saying to me was, I am called to be light. I'm called to be salt. I'm called to be those who fish for men. Like all of us. And I'm to get, even if what I feel like I have is ugly, and if I feel like it won't be received or even seen, I'm to get it out. I'm to get it out. Get it out there and let the Lord do the catching. Let the Lord do the catching. You know, the Lord's the Holy Spirit's the one who convicts. The Lord's the one who leads people to himself. And our job is to get the bait in the water. Our job is to shine and let him do it. And then the other thing was, the Lord was just speaking to me clearly with what happened in the dream, that fish speak of people. And the Lord wants us to be catchers of fishers of men. Fishers of men and women and children. And that we need to get the bait in the water. Let him do the drawing. Let him open up their eyes to see it. But we get to share. And he's preparing all of us to do those things, or has prepared us to be giving and sharing and seeing what the Lord will do. You're not just an employee at your office or at your business. That's just your cover. That's God getting you around people that he loves by giving you that job and to provide for your family. But you are there, I'm going to say, because God wants those people around you to know him. In part, the reason you are there, where you are right now in the city, in the neighborhood, in the business, you may not even like your job. I've had many jobs I did not like at all. But guess what? I was supposed to be there. And it was temporary, some of them, all of them actually. But the Lord was sending me there. I was supposed to be there. And if you can embrace where you are, look around where you are, even if you don't like it, and say, God, what do you have for me here? What do you have me to give? Who would you like me to pray for? Who would you like me to talk to? What lure can I get in the water with these people and see what you might do? I have a friend who got this job. Is at a ladder company. They build ladders. And he just asked his boss, he said, could I post an encouraging word for the day above the time clock? And the boss said, yes. So he'd go in early. He would get it. Sometimes it was a scripture, so just a word of encouragement, and he would stick it above the time clock. People coming in to clock in. And then when he, if he didn't do it for a day, or if he was gone, they would come to his desk and ask him, what's the word of the day? He led several people in that company to the Lord by doing that. I have another friend, he owns a business. And he one of the things he does is dedicates his business to the Lord. But he also says, hey, I'm inviting all the employees. You don't have to. This is not part of your job. But before we start for the day, on this certain day of the week, we're going to have a Bible study. You are welcome to come. He'll do that type of thing. This same guy will share about generosity and encourages people, his employees to give and talk about some of the things that he gives to. And he's, on average, has led one employee to the Lord per week throughout these years that he's done this. As he just says, this is, in fact, he tried to go into ministry full time. As he was about to quit, the Lord said, you're the pastor of this business. You're not, I don't want you in church. I want you to be a pastor to these business people. I want you to lead them to the Lord. And that's what he said. Okay, he grabbed a hold of that. So wherever we are an ambassador of his. Why don't we say this out loud and I'll end here. I am the light of the world. Have you ever said that before? Let's say it again. I am the light of the world. I am the salt of the earth. I've been born for these days. I am an ambassador of heaven. Amen. Amen. You are. This is who we are wherever we go. And like me, probably, you may not have that full-time gift as an evangelist. Doesn't matter. We're light. We're salt. We get to share him. One way we can do that is ask people, are you a Jesus follower? Simple question. People love talking about themselves. And so when you ask questions, oftentimes people will answer. And you can say just that simple thing. Are you a Jesus follower? And they're going to say one of two things, most likely. One is no, or something else, no. Or they may say yes. And you can say, really, tell me more about your relationship with Jesus. Or you could say, can I pray for you? It's amazing how many people will allow you to pray for them. And you can even ask, is there anything wrong in your body that you'd like to pray? Or is there a situation in your life that I can pray for you for? And people, I'd say most people are wide open to have you pray for them. It could be an entrance into what the Lord has for us. You are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. Lord, thank you that you've called us light, salt, your ambassadors, your sons, your daughters, your loved ones, your adopted favorite kids, all of us. Thank you, Lord, that we are in your family, and thank you, Jesus, for reminding us of how you see us and what you've put us here to do. Lord, I pray that we would get our eyes off of our own problems and onto you, the solution, not only for our problems, but the one who is the answer to everyone's problem. And Lord, I ask that you would show us people to love on this week, that you would show us people to shine on this week, to give to during this week, to call or even to text or to pray for. Lord, let us be, help us to be this light as we choose to say, we say even yes right now. We're gonna let our light shine.